We're joined in the media center by Funny Carly and qualifier Tim Wilkerson, who ran a 3.895 second pass in the second qualifying session to jump from the seventh position. Kind of looks like you guys are on a upward swing here. It's been a little bit of a rough season for you. Tell us about that.
Well, that's the thing. You hit the nail on the head trying to get the monkey off our back a little bit here, but we had some problems the last couple weekends, and I kind of traced it back to the chassis, and we pulled our old car out of the trailer for this weekend, and it really acts like it's okay. So one run does not make a hero, so we're going to try to do some good tomorrow. But had a good run the first run, too. Just got through the clutch and put a couple holes out and shut it off early. But we'll see what tomorrow brings. The heat always seems to change things in the way this car's work. So.
Tim, do most people have an idea how hard it is to chase a gremlin all over a car?
Well,
like you've had to?
I don't know. I think they do. You know, the guys that appreciate it do. I got a lot of good help, but it still ends up on top of my back. It's a problem. My shoulders. And with our limited runs, it really, really makes a big difference that we don't have two or three cars. And that's the thing. Even when we had Brian Stewart's car at Pika, I give me something else to look at there. And I learned a lot there, too. But when we started out at Pika with brand new clutches, that's been our last three or four problems that we've had. Three or four weekends that we really had some problems. They were brand spanking new and they didn't have any heat cycles in them, and now they're starting to get some heat cycles in them and they're starting to act like a clutch again. So it's starting to show, but like I said, we'll see how it does tomorrow and Sunday.
Is it true that you change one thing and you have to chase five other things?
Well, it's just it is a combination merry-go-round, for lack of better terms. You're correct. And as soon as we would had a disc come in and out of it at that same time, I ran out of one disc and put another one in, and it would seem like it was too aggressive. So after the peak, I changed it for epping, and then it acted a little backwards the other way. So I took it back out for Englishtown and chased it along, and I made two out of four pretty good runs at Englishtown. And first round, just got out there and got in the middle of the slick racetrack at Englishtown and got beat. But coming here, I was pretty confident, to tell you the truth.
You made the comment in Englishtown, this hot weather plays into your hands a little more. Same thing this weekend?
I don't know anymore. I mean, it's hard to make a fast car slow, and we got a pretty fast car anymore. So, we'll see if we can figure out how to get the thing backed up. Tomorrow's going to really be the telltale. If the sun's out tomorrow and the track is like it was today, same conditions, you know, it's not the track's fault. Pretty good racetrack out there, really. Everybody else just took it too lightly this afternoon, and then you get in that mindset is the problem. I run into it backwards of that at Englishtown and Epping. I go up there with my guns loaded and trying to swing for the fence, and I smoked the tires both of the Q2s at Englishtown and Epping both. And I told Hartman, I said, we ain't doing that at Bristol. We're going to go up there, we're going to go down the track, I don't care if we're number 10. I'm not going to smoke the tires. But what's it do? 89, number one. Well, that's just ridiculous, right? It gives you an idea how far over center you can get. Like Bobby said, combinations really have a lot of tendencies, and I got off of that thought process after Topeka with these new clutches. I got chasing something that wasn't real. And after I decided to ignore that, it's starting to come back around. But again, don't one run a hero does not make. So let's tomorrow we're gonna try to see if we can go some. You know, hell, 404 or 405 was no lower the round the first round, and that's ridiculous, right? That just shows how tricky a hot track is. Everybody backs it up way bad, especially after Englishtown. It taught us all a lot. When you have a 410 and a 414 in the finals, I mean, these cars are a lot more capable of that, right? So everybody's tiptoeing.
Pretty tough stuff for a crew chief trying to figure all this out.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, it really is. I get up there with 25 things in my mind, and Richard and I have three scenarios that I have all built up, and we get up there and talk about the racetrack, and a lot of times I'm still in the car. I got my radio on, and he's if and this and button that, and I say, okay, well, let's do this scenario then. Let's this file here and this clutch setting there, and hell, you watch us. A lot of times we'll change it right before we start the car. And based on who we watch and who we don't watch, but it's exciting. It makes it really fun. To tell you the truth, I really enjoy this. And when you see me not smiling, you won't see me out here anymore, because it's really enjoyable to do all this. You know what I mean? And our people always ask me, like Brian Carotti's real good friends of mine. He's always up my butt about me driving. Have your kid drive. Your car would be so much better if your kid drove and you didn't drive anymore. I'm thinking, well, I don't think that's a nice thing to say, but I know what he means. You know, that it's really hard to concentrate on being a crew chief when you're driving at the same time. And to tell you the truth, it really doesn't bother me, although I got my ass waxed on a hole shot in my first final this year, which is very unindicative to me. I'm usually a little better than that, but so we'll see. We'll see how the weekend goes this weekend. And Bristol owes me when I've got beat in the finals twice here, so it'd be a good thing to win the thing, especially from number one.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, gang.